We'd like you tonight to take your Bibles out and turn your Old Testaments to 1 Kings chapter 13. We want to begin this evening by welcoming those who are visiting with us. We want you to know that we're happy that you're here. Pray that you open your minds and open your Bibles to some things that we will study tonight and hope that will help us understand our responsibilities here upon this earth. How many people have you met who truly seem to love God, believe in His Son, are thankful for the sacrifice that He made on the cross of Calvary? They are diligent to their belief. They are good moral people, and they're just plain good folks. We wonder, how can this person be lost? These same people say that they believe that the Bible is the Word of God. They believe it as much as you and I do. They believe that God is the Creator. They believe that God created us, and they believe that we are made in His image. They also believe that God has given us some things to do while we live upon this earth, and they are as faithful as they can be to do the things that they believe that God would have them to do. Yet on some points we don't agree, and the question must be asked why. Somebody else has told them a certain passage or a certain set of scriptures have a different meaning and have a different setting, and we wonder, why do they believe them? Why don't they just open the Bible and accept what the Bible says? Can they honestly be deceived? I want to tell you tonight that I have wrestled with this particular concept and this particular question for many, many years. And it is still troubling to me. But yet I believe that there is a way that we can come to a better understanding, that we cannot be as confused about this as we might be. While pondering these questions and wondering about how these things fit together, I remembered an Old Testament story. And I want to share that story with you tonight from the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 13. This story is about two prophets. One man came out of Judah. The old prophet dwelt in Bethel. This story is about faithfulness, steadfastness, and keeping God's word instead of man's. If the Bible has ever taught me anything, it has taught me that God, from the beginning of time, from the beginning of the time that Adam and Eve were created, and when they were placed in the Garden of Eden, that God has required from man one simple thing: to believe what He says, and to follow it without reservation, to do it simply because God has asked us to do so. Out of love for Him, out of respect for who He is, and out of belief that God knows better than we know ourselves. Instructions, command, and ordinances must have some importance. If they do not, then I do not understand why God left them for us. Let us see what we can learn from this story, why I believe that it is better to obey God than man, as the Apostle Peter stated in Acts chapter 5 and verse number 29. Now, this story has a little background, and I want us to begin to read in verse 1 of chapter 13. It says, "And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born in the house of David. And on you he shall sacrifice the priests on the high places who burn incense on you, and the men's bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign at the same day, saying, This is a sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar will be split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. Then it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard this saying of the man of God, who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, Arrest him. Then his hand, which he stretched out towards him, withered so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar also split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered and said to the man of God, Please entreat the favor of the Lord your God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, and came as before. Now what this prophet did was tell Jeroboam that the idolatrous worship of this nation would eventually be overthrown. He informs the king that a son will be born in the house of David, a man named Josiah. He would offer those who defiled the altar. He would burn men's bones on that same altar who defiled and turned God's worship into an idolatrous worship. And if you would care to read 2 Kings chapter 23, beginning in verse 16, you will see the fulfillment of the prophet's words that he speaks here to King Jeroboam. In verse 3, he adds a miracle to confirm that what he's saying has come from God and not from men. The king is enraged at the prophet's message. Isn't that just like man? He doesn't like what God says. And so he ceases to attack the messenger. But you see, when he reaches his hand to take forth of the prophet, verse 5 of the prophet's words are partly fulfilled. The altar is split in two. And then his hand is withered, and he can't bring it back to himself. What does he do? He would do what any of us would do. He prayed that the prophet, who had told him that the altar would be split in two, that told him of this prophecy of Josiah reforming this idolatrous worship, he asked for mercy and grace be given to God and be prayed for that he might be restored as he was before. And the verse 6 says, the prophet entreated the Lord, and his hand was restored to him as it was before. Now all of this, this man did, this prophet, at the word of the Lord. Three times in these six verses, it says, thus saith the Lord. Thus is the word of the Lord. This is not the word of a prophet of God who just thought these things up. These are words that he was given to give to this king, to turn his heart away from idolatry and to turn him into God, to change the idolatrous worship that was going on in Israel at this time and to turn it back to what God wanted. Now, you have to admit that this young prophet was courageous. The king had the power to destroy him. This is King Jeroboam. He has the power to destroy this young man. And yet he has the courage and he has the confidence in God that he will stand before the king and he will speak the words that God has instructed him to say. You have got to commend the courage of this prophet. He is very courageous. And the man, the king's hand, is restored. But what would you do if you were the king? I think what you would do or what I might do is exactly what the king wishes to do. He wants to reward the prophet. Look at verse number 7. And then the king said to the man, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. Now that's an honorable thing. He had done a wonderful thing for the king. The king's hand was withered. It could have remained in that state. He entreated the Lord. He didn't have any reason to. He didn't have to. That wasn't part of what God sent him there to do. God sent him there to prophesy against this idolatrous king. But yet when he was asked by the king to entreat the Lord, he entreated the Lord, and the Lord healed him. And so all he wants to do is extend gratitude for what the prophet had done for him. Now that is a reasonable thing for a man to do in his position. But I want you to notice the words of this young prophet. In verse 8 he says, but the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go in with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For it was commanded to me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the same way in which you came. So he went out another way and did not return by the way that he had came to Bethel. You see, the king said, come home with me. I want to give you refreshment and I want to reward you for the kindness that you have extended towards me. But you know, the prophet said, if you would give me half of your house. Now I want you to consider what he said. This is the king, and he is telling the king, if you gave me half of what you have the possession of and what you have the authority over, if you would give me half of what you have, I will not go home with you. Now, that seems to be kind of wonderful in a sense, why he wouldn't just accept a small token of the king for the kindness that he had given him. But you see, he couldn't, because God had given precise instructions that you are not to eat in this place, you are not to drink in this place, you are not even to go back the same way that you came. You are to leave and to go another way, and you are not to spend time in this city. Now, you know what? We need to understand that he understood what God commanded him to do, did he not? He understood precisely what God's instruction meant. And you have to give this young prophet courage. He could not be bought. He could not be bought. He could have easily given in and took whatever the king offered him and thought, well, God will never know anyway. What harm will it do? But you know what? He was faithful to what God commanded. First of all, he gave the prophecy just like God instructed him to give. He had the courage to stand in front of the idolatrous king, told him what the inevitable conclusion was going to be of his idolatrous reign, told him that the priests were going to be destroyed, their bones were going to be burnt on this altar, and then when the king tried to seize him, he even was stricken by God. And then he entreated the Lord, he was returned, and then when the king wanted to extend thankfulness and gratitude, he would not do it because God commanded him not to do so. Now, when someone tries to get a person to go against a word, today they don't offer you anything. They don't offer you anything. You know what they tell you? I'm the prophet of God. I've got a new revelation. I've got new instruction. I've got something different to tell you. You know, no money or reward is ever offered. And what could motivate one today to go contrary to what they know that God says? Let me give you an example, ladies and gentlemen and brethren. God says in his word, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. There cannot be a clearer passage in the Bible on the subject of salvation than Mark 16:16. What could compel men to go ahead and go against that simple commandment? What would compel men to do that? I'm not sure I can answer that. The reasons are varied and they are many. But I want you to understand, it is not because we cannot understand. That is not the problem, and that wasn't the problem with the prophet. He well understood what God said. And I believe if a man with an honest heart reads Mark 16:16, he reads Acts 2:38, he reads 1 Peter 3:21, he reads the examples in the book of Acts, I believe the honest heart can understand that. You know why? Because Ephesians 5:17, the Apostle Paul wrote, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, we are told, whatever we do in word or deed, do all by the authority of the Lord. All can read and reason and have the ability to understand. But sadly, men are selling out for less than what this prophet was offered. This prophet was offered half of a kingdom of a king, and he was not willing to sell out. I'm telling you this evening that people sell out for far, far less today. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23, it says, buy the truth and do not sell it. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is not for sale. It is not something that we should take lightly. But I want you to notice that this prophet had integrity. He was going to be faithful to God no matter what was thrown at him. And you have to commend this prophet for his willingness to follow God's instruction. But you know what? This would be a wonderful story if that was the end of the story. But that's not the end of the story. The story continues in verse number 11. And I ask you to continue following along as we read. Now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel, and his sons came out and told him of the work of the man of God and what he had done in Bethel. And also they told their father in the words which he had spoken to the king. Now I want you to understand that what they did is they reaccounted for this old prophet, what this prophet had done, and what he had told the king when the king tried to demonstrate gratitude for what he had done. The old prophet was aware of what had happened. So what did the old prophet do? And then their father said to them, which way did he go? For his sons had seen the way that the man of God went who came from Judah. And then he said to his son, saddle me the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on it. And he went out after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. Then he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. And he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. Now listen to what the old prophet said. Just come back home with me and let me refresh you before you journey on. Doesn't seem to be anything wrong with the request. The old prophet had heard about the works of the prophet from Judah, and he asked his sons, which way did he go? And he followed him. He wanted to know, and after he found him, he brought him and caught up with him, and he asked him if he was the prophet that had come from Judah that had done the events that he had just heard about in Bethel. He said, I'm here. He said, well, come home with me, and let's eat, and let you be refreshed. Now, what's he going to do? Look at verse 16. And he said, I cannot return with you, nor go in with you. Neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way that you came. I want you to notice that first, the prophet stands his ground. He's going to do exactly what God told him, even though this man, all he wants to do is show some hospitality and kindness to this young prophet from Bethel or Judah. He is not going to go back. He's going to remain faithful to God. This would be a wonderful story if that was the end of the story. But there's one other little item in verse 18. And I want you to look at verse 18. And he said to him, I too am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. Now I want you to notice, the old prophet gave another message. He was a prophet of God, and God spoke to him by the word of the Lord, and he told him to bring the prophet back and to eat with him and let him be refreshed. But the Bible says he lied to him. Now, what's the young prophet going to do? What's the young prophet going to do? He's got conflicting messages. He knows what God told him because he's been faithful to that twice already. When the king wanted him to go against God's word, he wouldn't do that. And when this prophet first exposes himself and comes to him, he will not do what he wants. Now, is he going to stand his ground the third time? Now, you know, I'm often reminded when I read this story, it kind of reminds me of what I read in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, in verse number 8, the Apostle Paul made this statement. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. You see, the prophet had a decision to make. He was either going to remain faithful to God's word, which he knew, which he heard from God, which he was given by God, and which he knew to be true, or he was going to have to take the word of this old prophet and accept this new message. He had to make a decision. Now, you know what he's in? He's in the valley of decision. He's got to decide which road he is going to take. Is he going to take what he knows to be true, or is he simply going to take the word of this man that says that he too is a prophet of God? Now, as you and I sit here tonight, it seems to be an easy choice, doesn't it? You stay with what you know. You stay with what you know to be true because you heard it with your own ears. You know what God told you. From our standpoint, that'd be the best route to go. But notice what the prophet does in verse 19. So he went back with him, ate bread in the house, and drank water. It's not his fault. He was lied to. Somebody misrepresented himself as a prophet, and he was lied to. It is not his fault. You know what? I've had this discussion with my denominational friends in other faiths, and I have told them and studied this story with them. I want to ask you a question tonight. He did go back with them. Did this prophet threaten him? No. Did he twist his arm? No. What proof did he give that he was a prophet of God? What proof did he offer, ladies and gentlemen? What proof did he have that he was a prophet of God? None. Matter of fact, he proved he was not when he gave a different message than the one that the prophet had heard from God already. But I want to ask you a question. Is this enough to go against the word of the Lord? Think about it. Is that enough? Because somebody says, well, I'm a prophet, and God said for me to do this and tell you to do this. And you say, well, no, it's not. Oh, yes, it is. It is alive and well today in the 21st century. You turn on your radios tonight. You listen on Sunday morning. You listen on Saturday night. You will hear men and women who will get on the radio or get on the TV and say, I have a message from God, and I am his prophet, and this is what God wants you to do. And you know what? You also are in the valley of decision. You either can read what God says, or you can believe that that man or that woman is a prophet, and to go contrary against what you can read and what you can understand, and you also got to make the same decision. And what if they lie to you? What if they lie to you? Let me ask you a question, all honesty, brethren. What proof do these men and women ever give that they are who they claim to be? What proof do they give? Because they're a good orator? Because they have a charismatic personality? Because they can hold you spellbound by their speech? Does that mean that they're a prophet of God? Does that mean that they're truthful? Does it mean because millions of people are watching them? Because they have millions and millions of dollars that people send them? Does that make their word legitimate? Does it give it authenticity? Absolutely not. Then my question to you is, why did people buy it? And that's what they're doing. They're buying it. Because that's why they send that check in. They're buying it. Why? Because why do they fall for it? I used to wrestle with this. Why do they fall for it? I know now. It took me some years to figure this out. But I know. You know why they fall for it? Because they don't know what the original message is. If they knew what the original message is, they would stay with that. But if they don't know, and they're not sure, or if they don't like it, and that's more to the point, they don't like it, it is not as pleasant, it is not as good as what they're offering here. It is less restrictive. It gives me more liberty. It lets me do more of what I want to do. It makes me feel a lot better than following what the Bible says. Then I'll accept what this man says. But what if he lies to you? Don't you feel sorry for this prophet? He had been faithful twice. And he begins to be faithful with this man. But then he's lied to and he is deceived. You know what? I used to feel sorry for all those people who are deceived by the false teacher. By people who are good, honest, moral people who are lied to, but they believe the lie. I used to really cry about people like that. I still cry about them, but I cry for a different reason now. The reason I cry now is the answer was so simple. The answer was so simple for this prophet. All he had to do is stick with what he knew to be true, and he would have been okay. All man has to do today is stick to what they know to be the truth, and they'll be okay today. But what if you're lied to? Wonder if somebody misleads you. Let us get closer to the point. Wonder if I mislead you. Wonder if I lied to you. Wonder if I deceive you. It teaches you something that's contrary to the Word of God. When you stand up before God, say, well, wait, I would have never done that. He said that was the truth. He even read it out of the Bible. He said, that's what it says. And I know he was a preacher. I know I loved him. And I know I respected him. And I know he wouldn't lie to me. It's his fault that I'm lost. You know what the Lord's going to tell you? Did you have a Bible? Did you open it up? Did you look at it? Did you prove to see whether the things he said were so? Did you test the spirits as I told you to do in 1 John 4 and verse 1? Did you examine yourself to whether you be in the faith? Did you accept it on blind faith without any examination? Didn't I tell you not just to do the opposite? What about the prophet? What happened to him because of him believing the lie? Let's read. What happens to him? Verse 20. Now it happened as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen to what the old prophet said. Because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord God commanded you. You disobeyed him. You did not do what he told you to do. Now what is the consequence of his actions? But you came back and ate bread and drank water in the place which the Lord said to you, eat no bread, drink no water. Your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. You know what he said? He said, eat no bread and drink no water. And I know that you understood that because you told the old prophet that. You told the king that. I know you understood. And now you have believed a lie. Whose fault is it? It is the prophet from Judah's fault for believing the lie. See, what about that old prophet? God will deal with that old prophet. But that won't help the young prophet from Judah. Because he knew what God said. He knew what God's commandment was. He knew what his responsibility was. And he went against what he knew to be the truth simply because somebody said, I too am a prophet of God. God said, you will not reach your home alive. Did he? So it was, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled the donkey for him, the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey stood by it, and the lion also stood by the corpse. And the men passed by and saw the corpse thrown on the road, and the lion standing by the corpse. And they went in and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. What happened to that prophet from Judah? He lost his life. On the way back, a lion met him in the way and slew him and threw his carcass on the side of the road and then stood by the carcass. If you continue reading, the old prophet mourned and buried him in his own grave, according to verse 29 and 30. With the instruction to his sons to bury him with the bones of the prophets when he had passed on in verse 31. Isn't that nice? But you know what? He could have done more for that young prophet had he not lied to him. It would have been better had he not lied to him than to be buried with him. Now, let me ask you something. Do you feel sorry for this young prophet? Do you feel that he was deceived? Do you feel that that's a little harsh what God did to him? From a human standpoint, it seems harsh, doesn't it? But ladies and gentlemen and brethren, it's not harsh. What lesson can we learn from the prophet of Judah? I'm going to tell you, this is a lesson you can learn. We ought to obey God rather than men. When God says this and man says this, every time, 100% of the time, without exception, God's way should be followed, man's way should be rejected. Every time, without exception, without rule, when God says this, that is the way it is. And when man goes counter to that, man is a liar. and should not be believed. Whether he's a gospel preacher, whether he has a charismatic spirit, whether he is very good to listen to, whether you love him, whether you respect him, whether you've known him for years, if he goes contrary to what you know that book says, don't you believe it, don't you follow it, and don't do what he says. Because if you do, you will have to suffer the consequences for that decision. You say, that's terrible. That's harsh. But I want to show you in just this 1 minute, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul taught. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and look at verse 4 and 5. 1 Corinthians 2, the church of Corinth had many problems. He addressed following men in chapter 1. And look at chapter 2 beginning in verse 4. Paul says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Why did the young prophet from Judah die? Because he disobeyed the word of the Lord. Why will men and women be lost in eternity forever and ever, not because they're not good moral people, not because they're not sincere, not because they're not honest. They will simply be lost for the same reason, because they disobeyed the word of the Lord, and the reason will make no difference to God. Now, let me ask you a question. No matter how humble, no matter how forthright, no matter how convincing, no matter how much good any person has done, if he would encourage you to go against the plain teaching of the Bible, that person is not your friend. He has become an enemy to your soul. And if that person is me, that person is me. If that person became Mike Hefner, he's an enemy to your soul. If he would ever lead you in a path that is contrary to God's word, no matter how much you love Mike, you would have to reject him and you couldn't follow him. Well, he's an elder of the Lord's church. He doesn't have any authority. This book has the authority. This is how it is. And that's why God tells you, when you hear men like me preach, when you hear anybody stand in this pulpit, no matter how much you love him, how much you respect him, no matter how long you've known him, don't take anything for granted, because your soul is at stake. Open the book, check it out, and make sure for yourself. You could be deceived. And you want to know one more thing? You could be deceived by someone who's deceiving you honestly, because they don't know any better. They could teach what they have always believed to be true, and they've never been instructed to do better. And I'll give you an example of that. What about Apollos in Acts chapter 18? He was very eloquent, he was powerful, he was forthright, and he preached the baptism of John. Why? Because that's all he knew. What did Aquila and Priscilla do? Well, he meant to do the right thing. Why did they take him aside and teach him more perfectly the way of the Lord? Because you know what? The way of the Lord is what you need to follow. The way of the Lord is what we need to follow. We need to understand that we need to be remained true to the God of heaven. Remember the story of the two prophets, ladies and gentlemen. It is very much something that we need to consider today. You know why? Because this is exactly what is taking place in our day and time. There are men and women who are standing in pulpits, who are on the radio, who are on the television, saying, I am a prophet of God. God has sent me a revelation. He has sent me a message. Here's what he wants you to do. But that message is something completely contrary to what you can read as you open and study your Bible for yourself. You know where that leaves you and I? That leaves us in the same place that it left the prophet of Judah. You are in the valley of decision. And if you make the wrong choice, as the prophet of Judah did, there are utter, terrible consequences, far more reaching and difficult for us than what the prophet of Judah faced. Please take your psalm books out and turn to page 348. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in Hebrews the 5th chapter, verse 9, that he is the author and finisher of our faith to all those who obey him. Not man, not your preacher, not the elders, not what you've been taught all your life. What you are to obey is God. And God's word is never to be compromised for anything. But dear friend, if you allow yourself to be deceived, you can be deceived. You can be misled even by honest and good people. But if you are misled and you are deceived and you accept a message that is completely contrary to what you can put your finger on and hear, and you accept it as truth, and all the love I have in my heart, when you stand before Jesus Christ, that will not get you off the hook. When Jesus says, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." That's just the sad truth. And we need to be ready. How do you protect yourself? How do you make sure that you're never deceived? I know the answer to that. Don't ever close this book. You keep it open and you check out what you're taught and what is said. And you make sure that it's exactly what the Bible said. If you find a man who teaches something contrary to that, don't be afraid to question it. Don't be afraid to ask him about it. And don't you follow it. Because what this book says is right. And if I go contrary to what this book says, Keith Greer is wrong. Brother Mike Heppner does, Mike Heppner's wrong. Tim Hill, Harold Spitz, it doesn't make any sense to any of us. If we would go contrary to what this book says, the reason does not matter. The only thing that matters is, what does the Lord's word say? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel. You need to hear the word of God, to believe it, to repent, to confess your sin, and to submit to baptism, to contact the blood of Christ. You know why you need to do that? Because that's what the book says. That's what God says. And that's what the apostles wrote, who were directed by the Holy Spirit. You know what? When you do that, you are on safe ground. But if you listen to one of those people on the television or on the radio that says, "Oh, just put your hand on the radio. Just put your hand on the television set. Come down and kneel down at the foot of your bed and accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and you can enter into the joys of the Lord, and you can go to bed tonight and lay your head on your pillow, and you can know that all is well with the world, and if you never wake up, heaven will be your home for an eternity." You can buy that bill of goods. But when you wake up on the other side, and it's not like that, you won't be able to blame that person you listen to. The only person you can blame is yourself, because you know why? Because you can find out what he did say. Now, I'm here to tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, there is no one in this world that's worth compromising this book over. I love my wife. I love my children. But I would not compromise one word in this book for the love that I have for them. You know why? Because my soul is what's at stake. Your soul is at stake. You're in the valley of decision tonight. Don't believe a lie. Don't believe the misrepresentation of man. Search it out. Check it out. And when you find it to be true, hold on to it and don't ever let go of it. If you're here and you're a child of God and you've not lived your life in an acceptable way, you also are in the valley of decision. You need to repent. You need to come home. You need to ask and pray God to forgive you, and he will. I know this as much as I know anything standing here. If you follow the words that are in this book, you're on safe ground. When you go outside this book, you're risking your soul. Ladies and gentlemen, that's too big a risk for me to take, and I hope it's too big a risk for you. Think about it as together we stand.